Welcome to our daily reading for July 10th. We're going to start in 2 Corinthians today. We finished up 1 Corinthians chapter 16 yesterday, and this is the next one in order of chronological as far as the timeline that I have goes. Just to give you a little bit of perspective, this would have been approximately Acts chapter 20 before he goes to Macedonia and then Greece, and then several other places, then arriving where he meets with the Ephesian elders at Miletus. So that gives you a little bit of time frame. This would have been right before he writes the book of Romans as well. So let's start in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 today. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the church of God that is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in the whole of Achaia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. For our boast is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we behaved in the world with simplicity and godly sincerity, not by earthly wisdom, but by the grace of God, and supremely so toward you. For we are not writing to you anything other than what you read and acknowledge, and I hope you willfully acknowledge, just as you did partially acknowledge us, that on the day of our Lord Jesus you will boast of us as we will boast of you. Because I was sure of this, I wanted to come to you first, so that you might have a second experience of grace. I wanted to visit you on my way to Macedonia and to come back to you from Macedonia and have you send me on my way to Judea. Was I vacillating when I wanted to do this? Do I make my plans according to the flesh, ready to say yes, yes, and no, no at the same time? As surely as God is faithful, our word to you has not been yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, whom we proclaimed among you, Silvanus and Timothy and I, was not yes and no, but in him it is always yes. For all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ, and has anointed us, and who has also put his seal on us, and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. We're going to stop there, since verse 23 is going to go into the thought that carries into chapter 2. So we'll stop there at verse 22 and go back and make some observations about the first chapter of 2 Corinthians. So I would point out to you that at the end of 1 Corinthians, we saw that Paul told them that he wanted to come and see them, and he didn't want it to be too fast of a visit, perhaps even staying for the winter. And then in 2 Corinthians, he begins to talk about his trip to Macedonia and that he wanted to visit them on the way. So, as he writes this second letter, he opens up the same way that he normally does, gives some greetings from him and Timothy as well. Maybe that Timothy was just there with him, or maybe that Timothy was giving some input into what should be included here, or maybe just assisting Paul in the letter. It is addressed to the church of God that is at Corinth, but also in those that are in the whole of Achaia. And of course, we know that these letters were copied and distributed throughout all the churches, not just in the location in which they were sent. I would like to make one brief comment on that. If you consider some of the issues that Paul deals with in writing to the Corinthians, and you realize that they then copied that letter and sent that so that other churches could read it, I think that's a real testament to faith and to their trust in the grace of God. I'm not sure that I would want to deal with such difficult issues, be rebuked for them, and then want to share that we had those issues with everybody else. I mean, I think that that's a testament to their faith that they would let those things be known by sending out those letters. Now, it could be that they could take confidence in, hey, we fixed these issues, but I just think that it is a good testament to their faith that that's what they did. In verse 3, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And the language there, with it saying "blessed be," could also be rendered as "let us give thanks." So that gives the idea that blessing and thanks are virtually synonymous in the way that Paul is writing it. So we could also say then, "let us give thanks to God and to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." Now, I did a little checking to refresh my memory on the language here also in verse 4 when he starts talking about comfort, because I wanted to really understand what Paul is conveying here with the idea of comfort. When you and I think of comfort, you know, we might think of something to sit in that might be soft enough that it relieves some of the pressure or pain that we might have, maybe in our back or something like that. Or maybe comfort in terms of a child being upset, and we might comfort them and help them to overcome that emotional situation of the time. That second one is probably closer, but really the word there is from the Latin fortis, and that probably rings a bell, like fortitude, but it really means strong and brave. And so the picture is God calling his children to his side to assist them and strengthen them. So when he says to comfort us who are in our affliction, he's saying strengthen us in that affliction. Give us the fortitude to handle it. And Paul does make mention in this first chapter about, verse 8, when he says, "We were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself." So what does he give credit for why he was able to handle that situation that was such a great despair? It was because God comforted him. God strengthened him to make it through that situation. I think that's a very good thought for us to consider in chapter 1 here. Then he says that when you've been comforted, you've been strengthened, that will enable you to be able to comfort and strengthen others who are in affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. That could be a matter of experience. I've been through these things, and so I can share with you those experiences and strengthen you. But it can also be a matter of confidence. I have experienced these things, and I know that God is faithful to strengthen us through these things, and you can make it too. You need to rely on God. Either one of those, I think, would fit with the idea that Paul is putting forth here. More than likely, it's both of them together. So verse 5, "As we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort also." Verse 6, "If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken." So he's putting all this together, and he's relating it to themselves. He's relating it to the recipients of this letter, and likewise us today. We need to be confident. We need to be able to realize that God is going to carry us through these things. We are not alone. We have other Christians at our side. We have God on our side. He is our faithful Heavenly Father to carry us through these various afflictions. And of course, we have a pretty good idea of what Paul was going through since we studied through the book of Acts, that he's facing great persecution by this point. They're trying to take his life at several points. He's going to be imprisoned. And these are very, very important concepts that we put all of these pieces together to get a picture of a Christian that endures but still serves God through all of it and still relies on God. And it's not Paul's strength that was able to do it. It was God strengthening him. I made mention of verse 8. Verse 9, Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Wow, that's some perspective, isn't it? To say that we were to the point of death, or expecting the sentence of death, but we realized that accomplished some good. It accomplished something that was produced in us, and that was to rely on God who raises the dead. Wow, that's a big point, and it shows incredible faith. That's the kind of faith that I want to have, and I hope that you want to have. It says, He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. On Him we have set our hope that He will deliver us again. I think that he's talking about ultimate deliverance. Many apostles died for the cause of Christ. That's not a contradiction with what Paul is saying here. I think he's talking about that ultimate deliverance, as he referenced, that God could raise from the dead, and he will in the very last day. That's what we looked at in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Then he says, you must also help us by prayer, or he's asking for prayers. That's what he's saying. So that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. Then verse 12, he says, this is our testimony of our conscience that we behaved in the world with simplicity. Some renderings there is holiness. So he would say, we behaved in the world with holiness and godly sincerity, not by earthly wisdom, but by the grace of God, and supremely so toward you. In other words, we walked circumspectly. We walked in a way that was worthy of the calling of Jesus. We didn't conduct ourselves in a worldly manner whatsoever. It says, we are not writing to you anything other than what you read and acknowledge, and I hope you will fully acknowledge. Then verse 14 seems like a strange statement. He said, you did partially acknowledge us, or acknowledge us in part, that on the day of our Lord Jesus you will boast of us as we will boast of you. So he's saying that in the past, they had to some extent formed a correct estimate of Paul. He hopes that they will do the same with regard to his letters, that they will accept them as they are, that they are from Paul, that they are from the authority of him as an apostle, and that they are the word of the Lord delivered through Paul. There's also that phrase that he says, in part, and that could mean a couple of different things since he doesn't really explain it within the context here. It could mean that only part of the Corinthians understood him, therefore, some of the Corinthians did not understand him, or it could mean that they only partially understand him, or that they do not fully grasp his intentions toward them. So one of those is probably accurate, but Paul doesn't really explain himself here. And then Paul makes mention of the fact that they are still a source of rejoicing, of pride, because despite all the problems that were plaguing the church at that time, they continue to work on their salvation, or work out their salvation even, and that's something for Paul to commend them on, that despite their problems, they're working through everything, they're listening to him, and they're making some changes. Then in the final part of our reading here, he makes mention that he says, verse 15, I was sure of this. I wanted to come to you first so that you might have a second experience of grace. I wanted to visit you on my way to Macedonia and to come back to you from Macedonia and have you send me on my way to Judea. So he says, that was my full intention. That's what I wanted to do. Apparently, he was not able to do that because he says, was I vacillating when I wanted to do this? Do I make my plans according to the flesh, ready to say yes, yes, and no, no at the same time? As surely as God is faithful, our word to you has not been yes and no. We're not going back and forth, and we're not lying, and we're not going back on our word in any way. He's just saying sometimes things just don't work out that way. I think you and I understand that. There's plans that we make that don't come to fruition because circumstances didn't allow it. You know, and that's what Paul's describing. Circumstances simply just did not allow it. Then he makes relation to the fact that verse 19, he says, Jesus Christ, whom we proclaimed among you, Silvanus, Timothy, and I, was not yes and no, but in him it is always yes. Despite the fact that Paul said, I want to come see you, I want to come spend time with you, and that didn't quite work out the way that he planned, he says, understand that that doesn't have a reflection upon what we've preached to you, that in God, it's all yes. There is no no. His promises are all yes. In other words, they are trustworthy and they are true. And he says, that is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us and has put his seal on us and given us his spirit in our heart as a guarantee. So his point is, God is trustworthy. Don't allow this circumstance or this change in plans to shake your faith in God. You know what you've got. Stick with it. Thank you for listening today. Please come back on Monday as we finish up the very end of chapter 1 and go into chapter 2. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.